Hello and welcome to Textile Innovation, hosted by WTIN. My name is Ruby and I'm the news editor and your podcast host. Each month we're going to be joined by a brand new special guest, so join me and my colleagues as we deep dive into what's new, what's interesting, and what unmissable innovations have hit the market recently. We cover everything on the podcast, from sustainability to startups and the latest research and developments, and we also quiz the experts in the fields about their new products and ideas across the huge spectrum that is the textiles industry. So, no matter what your interest is, WTIN have you covered, and we can connect you to everything you need to know right here from our central hub in the UK. In this episode, I speak to Daniel Rufenacht, who is the CEO of Blue Sign Technologies over in Switzerland. We talk about his personal history within sustainability before taking over the company, the differences between indexes and standards, why collaboration is important for the future of textiles, and how the company is positioning itself to stay at the forefront. So let's get started. Firstly, thank you so much for chatting with me. It would be great to hear about you and your journey before taking over as CEO of Blue Sign. Have you always worked within sustainability?
Thank you, Ruby, for this invite. I'm really happy to talk to you this morning. To your question, it's a big question. You don't see me on the screen, so you would see that I'm 50 past, and I have more than 30 years experience in sustainability. Starting in my young days, I always said, you know, I was throwing stones into windows of multinational companies in Switzerland because I didn't agree with society. And then my dad told me that I have to pay for this, and I had to go to the factory for 2 years, paying back all my debts of the broken windows. And then I realized that sustainability is not about reacting against, but getting engaged and doing things. And I quickly understood that sustainability at company level was something very important. So what I did first is during my studies, I wrote an essay on integrating sustainability into management. And that was in the late 80s, so where we were starting talking about environment. And I remember my professor told me, you have zero chance with a topic like that. And it ended up to be one of the best essays of the time at that moment. I said, okay, if this works, I can go on. So I joined the Swiss government. And that time, you know, in the 80s, 90s, there was a trend saying, okay, let's do trade and aid. So we had to discover companies in developing countries, help them to develop their business opportunities into Switzerland, and help them export. That was a trade and aid period of sustainability. So we were helping what today is, you know, delocalization. At that early stage, we were helping Swiss companies to find suppliers in developing countries so that they develop their business and create value in the country to export to Switzerland. There was an overall scheme that was in the Swiss government, but also in other European countries. So the funny part, I always say I started my career as an old man consultant job, you know, traveling around the world, consulting companies and trying to find them possibilities into the Swiss market. And then I wrote for the Swiss government, one of the first code of conduct. And out of that, I got a great opportunity to join a company that was called Switcher. Today we talk about digital product passport. We talk about traceability. We talk about impact. We did that all in 2000 already. So we launched on the market the cleanest t-shirt in the world, and we sold it for less than 10 Swiss francs or something like that, integrating all the traceability. So we, at that time in 2000, we built up a traceability tool where we said, okay, it was the start of internet. I don't know whether you remember, we had our first online shop, and when you were shopping, you could actually track back which cotton field the cotton was coming from in the t-shirt. Which spinner, which mill, which dyeing factory, which CNT, which transportation. At that time, we were not talking about CO2 emission, but the food traceability was there. So I turned this company, we turned this company into the most sustainable company with nice products. And then I had a great opportunity to join SGS, the leading testing, inspection, and certification company in the world. SGS became leader in Dow Jones. Became a FTSE for good member. We had a lot of, we were talking to investors in that early days, 2008, 2010, 15, you know, about sustainability. We even did education of of the investor until this big trend of ESG came in, where in 2017 the whole world discovered environmental, social, and government, and then there was a kind of pickup of sustainability in the bigger corporation. To make this long answer very short, I'm breathing sustainability for the last 30 years at least. It's my passion, and with Bluesign, I must say honestly, it is absolutely great, because Bluesign on a daily basis, what we do is reduce the impact of the textile and garment industry on the planet, whether it's environmental impact or social impact.
So you mentioned that you're now the CEO of Bluesign. Can you tell me more about what it is that Bluesign does, a little bit about the history there, and more importantly, its goals?
Bluesign has been founded 23 years back in 2000. Again, you know, when I was talking before about Switcher and this trend to sustainable, towards sustainability, it was the first step towards a better use of chemicals in the textile industry. So Bluesign was created to implement something that is today really demanded, which is input stream management. To make it very clear and very short, if you don't use bad chemicals from the beginning, you don't need to remove them at the end. As simple as that. So the concept is very clear. You use better chemicals in your processes, in your production, and then you have less impact at the end. And you have less impact along the value chain. And that's the whole concept of Bluesign. So we establish a list of better chemicals that are published in a tool that is called Finder. It's even public. You can have a look at the public Finder. And we motivate brands, manufacturers, to use the better chemicals in the production of their garments. For that, we talk to the chemical industry. We do have a look at all their products. We do assessment of their products. We do evaluation of their products. Those products go onto a positive list, which is the Bluesign Blue List. And this list is then made available to the maximum of potential user in the value chain. What we do, we then measure this impact, and we can say, okay, Bluesign has contributed to reduce so much percentage of CO2 emissions, so much wastewater reduction, so much waste reduction. But more importantly, and that's very crucial, because all this trend towards sustainability is all about reducing, we are there to do positive. And we measure also the quantity of better chemicals that have been used in the value chain. And today with the, you know, with this digital passport coming up in Europe, and also this traceability wish of many governments, we are right with the right product at the right place at the right moment. For many companies today, this is really new, but for us, it's our daily bread for more than 20 years. We have a team of more than 100 people. I really insist, we don't have time anymore to reduce. The world has to do positive. We are going to miss the 2030 SDGs. Now we have these 17 SDGs. We're going to miss them. We see today what happens at COP. It's no good. I was in COP21 in Paris. I was there to sign this agreement, right? This reduction of, or this containment of 2 degrees temperature rate. And I must say, honestly, I'm really disappointed today. And I know, you know, today it's still on a voluntary base, but as of 2030, there will be the kicking of legislation. So what we are doing now at the moment with Bluesign, we are preparing all our partners. We have more than 850 partners with us, more than 150 brands that believe in us. We are helping them to prepare to get above or ahead of legislation. Legislation will kick in very hard in 2030, because we're going to miss all these goals, and government will say, okay, now we have to act, because we are not on the right track to 2050. And it's the last chance to change the track, right? So that's why doing positive is more important than reduction.
That is something I'm hearing quite a lot with the interviews that I'm doing, is that it seems to be this kind of disconnect where people within the industry are, the time is running out, we're not going to meet these goals, we need to do something immediately, whereas consumers are kind of, I feel like they're more relaxed about it, maybe because people in the industry like us know the extent of it a little bit more, I guess.
Ruby, I'm going to say something that will shock you and will shock your audience. And doesn't matter. I'm old enough to be allowed to say. that they buy whatever you offer them. So I, you know, 30 years ago, I only understood you have to change the industry. You have to change the decision makers that make you better products in the market. I have not seen many, there are some, of course, but I have not seen many consumer organizations say, hey, we want better products, and then the industry is doing better products. It's very difficult as a consumer and consumer association to make your voice heard. Legislation is much stronger than that. And if you want to change the legislation, if you want to change the industry, you need to have, you know, better arguments at the higher level. I always said, look, working in sustainability, there are so many today that it's absolutely fantastic. When I started in sustainability, there was no education, there was no training, it was learning by doing. But now we have universities, they all talk about sustainability. Everywhere we talk about sustainability.
I just want to go back a little bit to something that I, from my research, kind of believe to be the foundation for BlueSign. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it is standardization. Why do you think that it's so important to have standardization within the industry? And in an ideal world, what would complete and utter transparency look like?
So there are hundreds, thousands, millions of standards in the market, right? For everything you have a kind of standard or, you know, criteria, whatever what it is. So that's important. You need to have a baseline on which you are measured against. And that's very important for anything, right? And depends who is at the base of the standard and what is the intention of the standard and what is the aim. I more believe in indexes than standards. Because a standard is something that is very static, and then you have a multi-stakeholder group that makes it evolve. You integrate all the stakeholders' ideas and stakeholders' requests. Very often a standard is something that is a little bit watered down, right? Or a standard is a consensus of many interest groups into a position, which is absolutely great because we need this consultation. What is more efficient nowadays is an index. Because with an index, you can set in the market a bar, you know, and say, okay, those are the things that we have to do. And then you can measure against this index whether you are good or bad. So with an index, you can make a whole industry progress. With a standard, you have to comply with a standard, and the progress is a bit slower and a bit different because it's a multi-stakeholder.
I want to go back to something else you said earlier about companies you've worked with before. So you said that the company's been going since 2000. You've collaborated with some other companies since that inception. Can you tell me a bit more about that? I know that one of the big ones that I've seen is the Sustainable Apparel Coalition.
Our aim is really to insist on the importance of the chemicals and on the importance of the good chemicals and the positive chemicals. And for that, we have to be in collaboration with all the initiatives. So it's not only SAC, it's also ZDHC, it's also Worley, XHIG, it's also, you know, the European Outdoor Group, the World Outdoor Group. We try, you know, everywhere we can to promote better chemicals. To be successful, you need this, it's not a convergence, but you need this acceptance of these different standards and initiatives to position BlueSign not only as a simple criteria developer of better chemicals, but also to increase acceptance and to make it known. And that's a big challenge, I tell you, because today we are 100 people working in BlueSign, but we belong to SGS that has more than 100,000, almost 100,000 people. We have a great network, and we can influence in so many places. Yes, we have enough people to do it. And we have a very good relationship with all these multi-stakeholder initiatives. We value them, right? I think it's important. But we also have our way, and that's important. You know, that our BlueSign criteria is, for us, it's the bedrock of our work.
Talking to companies throughout the textile supply chain, two things spring to mind for them when first beginning to kind of wrap their head around standardization and transparency. And they are cost and confusion, unfortunately. Many of them are kind of under the impression that it will cost them thousands, if not millions, to begin that process. And they don't really know where to start with that. Can you offer any advice or add anything to that?
I love that question. I would like to put this question to back to you, just and then I will answer, don't worry. Ruby, is it normal that we use bad chemicals for textiles?
Unfortunately, yes, but it shouldn't be.
Okay, so the answer is there. Are these companies saying, yeah, but you know, it's going to cost us much more to be better? When you are with Blue Sign, it's all about resource management. Okay, so using better chemicals, using less impactful chemicals is also less cost. Resource management, that's most of the companies do not understand that. They say, oh, we're going to spend a lot of money to clean up our value chain. Say, no, you're not going to spend that money. You're going to save money because it's better resource management. You know, less water, less chemicals, less, which is also less cost at the end of the day. We see with the manufacturer that say, yeah, I have a problem, and there I would say they are right. I have so many initiatives in the market. Brands are asking me to do initiatives, and then I have to pay for it. The brands will not pay, but not all brands are like that. You know, when you do investment nowadays, you invest. We do all our calculation on what we call best available technology, and then sometimes you come to the limit of what you can do by reduction or by, you know, water saving or chemical saving, etc. Then you need to invest in better technology. That's another thing. That's where the millions come in, because when your technology is obsolete, you need to buy new machinery. You know, the new machinery that is coming in is much more sustainable than the former machine. So the confusion comes from the fact that the market is very open and you have a lot of little initiatives left, right and center that proposes solutions, can convince a brand to go with them. So you would have a brand going with one solution, another brand going with another solution. Give you an example of traceability. Now with the DPP coming into Europe, we have more than 40 providers already of traceability tools. Every brand has another partner. In all honesty, the opening of the market, bringing more competition in, is positive for the manufacturers and is not negative.
So say a company did want to seek Blue Sign approval. What is the certification process like and what criteria do they need to meet, or does it vary from company to company?
We have these three different types of customers. We have chemical manufacturer, company that makes the chemical suppliers. We have the manufacturers, the government, and its value chain, and we have the brand. So there are three different products. It always starts with an assessment. Try to improve along the criteria that we have set for the chemicals. So the chemical industry will give us their chemicals. We would analyze the chemicals, and we would run by product stewardship. We look at how they produce it and how it's done. And then products come to the blue list. For the manufacturers, we also have an assessment, how they use the chemicals. And then they have this assessment, then they become partners to improve on how to use the chemicals and how to produce their products. And for the brand, to do a brand assessment and see how the brand is behaving with its supply chain and how they know their supply chain. That's the whole traceability work that we do on the supply chain. It's also an assessment. And then they become system partners. Your partner with Blue Sign will help you to improve. So it's not that we go and see and look at them and say, hey, you're bad. When you are good, come back. It's usually what the standard is doing or what the certification is doing. When you have a certain level, I don't go into the details because it's very technical and very complicated. But for instance, we have what we call approved chemicals. So when the chemical is approved, you get the label approved chemicals, and you are listed. Then as a manufacturer, you have articles. So you can create articles with a label that is called approved fabric. And a brand can then take approved chemicals, approved fabric, to make an approved product. And that's the final label that you find in the market when you go, for instance, to see Mammut or Patagonia or all our partners, 150 partners. All of them are kind of labeling and put this Blue Sign approved label on their product.
I want to move on to something a bit more broad now, which will kind of draw upon your knowledge in the industry. What trends do you foresee in the future of sustainable textiles, and how is Blue Sign positioning itself to stay at the forefront of these developments?
What I foresee is very simple. We, at some point, legislation, as I said, will kick in. Fast fashion will suffer from legislation, and we have to adapt. And I strongly believe in adaptation. I strongly believe in transformation, as I said, using better chemicals, using, you know, better production conditions, etc. Consumer trend will increase. Today we produce more than 100 billion pieces of textile per annum, 100 billion. And then we throw away 12 kilos of garments per head. We are heading towards a kind of catastrophe. And you see these plastics all over the place, you see the chemicals all over the place, these textile waste all over the place. This would change the legislation. What will happen is that this company will reinvent very quickly. The consumer today is increasing consumption, because this fast consumption, you know, you get something, you don't even send it back anymore. Even sending back is even more polluting. It's really waste, you know, it's really waste for society. There's no value anymore for society. But this trend will go on, because we have so many countries that have to catch up with consumption. And you see it in the COP discussions. Certain countries are asking for relief, saying, okay, we need now another 4 or 5 years of pollution to catch up economically. But we're also helping the small companies to launch. That means a startup can come to us, and in our marketplace can use from the start, from the beginning, better companies and better products. And that's how we try to position ourselves. That's the future of the textile. We need, as I said before, we need to do the positive. The negative will always be here. The cheap and negative will always be here. That's for sure. But there will be much more room for smaller brands in the future, for local brands.
And this seems like a really good place to end the question. So thank you so much for chatting with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Ruby.
If you have any questions for WTIN, then you can reach out over Twitter. Find us at WTIN comment, or you can contact me directly at ruby@WTIN. And if you fancy sponsoring an episode of the podcast, please email sales@WTIN.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next month.